You must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship. For they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I've planted within you. Will you catch them and remove them for me? We will do it together. So this is my prophetic hat, catching foxes, not letting them spoil the vine within me, the garden that's inside of me. They're just going around trying to spoil what he's doing. And I said no. Do you say no to?
No.
Yeah, we say no. We say no to anything that tries to hinder love. We say no to anything that tries to hinder love. I know I look like a goofball, but I don't really care. I kind of stopped caring back in high school. That's when God got a hold of my life. And I grew up kind of very lukewarm, and just trying to get into heaven when I die, but get as much of the world while I could while I was here. And then God got a hold of my life, and it was like I had all these friends that my identity was wrapped up in. And I was like, I got to pick. And I'd have this Bible thing I'd carry around with me. Every time I'd open it, it would be like this verse that would pop up, or that I'd pull up, and it would be like, is light's best friend darkness? And I knew at that time God was calling me. These people were influencing me more than I was influencing them, and he was calling me apart from them. And I was like, this was me giving up my life because I didn't know what I was going to do. So, but he did something to me, and he gave me the grace to give up my life in high school. And that set off something in me where I really stopped caring about what people thought. And it completely, it's like dropping a nuke on the fear of man that was inside of me. Oh, man. Have you had that moment?
Yeah.
Isn't that the best? And you just like stop caring? Yeah, you're free. You really are. See, I just don't really care anymore. I mean, I love you. It's not like I don't care about your opinions and like the things that you think and whatnot, but it doesn't really, anyways. So here we go. I'm catching foxes. You are too. 2 Corinthians 11, 3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That's the New King James Version. Passion Translation says, now I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's clever lies, your thoughts may be corrupted and you may lose your single-hearted devotion and pure love for Christ. What was moved on my heart a few days ago was I was just laying in bed and I was just thinking about different things going on in life, hardships, and it's just been kind of rough for a little while. Different things going on in our lives, some personal things going on, and I was just having one of those moments where I was like, God, what's going on? And, you know, in that time as I was processing things, I was just like trying to, you know, run it through all my theological filters and stuff like that. And I just felt the Holy Spirit like come to me as this bridegroom like we read about in Song of Song, and where he's just talking to his lover. And I felt like he just came to me and just said, I just want to know if you'll be faithful to me. Are you a faithful friend? Are you a faithful lover? And I'm not saying that all the hardships come from God and he's trying to give us a heart. I'm not saying that. I don't know. I don't really honestly concern myself too much with that. He didn't mind those questions. I'm not telling you not to ask him those things, but I've learned that the enemy tries to really get into those things. Like this verse says, your thoughts may be corrupted and you may lose your single-hearted and just that simple devotion to Christ. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit came and said, I just want to know, are you a faithful friend? And I felt like it was something in that moment where he stripped everything away. All the stuff we add to our Christian walk. And it's good to grow in God. And that's what we're doing here. And we should absolutely grow in God. Hebrews 6, you know, we should go into these things. But ultimately, I believe there's just a constant question that Holy Spirit is asking us. And as a lover, he's asking us. As a friend, he's asking us, will you be a faithful friend? And this is that simple life in Christ. So we are tonight, we're going to go into the highest heavens. We're going to go into the highest heavens. Are we going to talk about being transdimensional, cardiognosis, prophecy, supernatural faith to move mountains, the tongues of men and angels? No, we're going even higher. We're going to talk about the most excellent way, the great Wi-Fi system of God, what's everywhere. The way to connect to his heart is love. Simple love. This is the highest way. I love all those things that I mentioned. I love going in. I think all those things that I mentioned are wrapped up in love. So I don't minimize them, but the reality is we know what the scripture says. You can have all those things, but if you don't have love, even if you die without love, you've done nothing. Love is the highest way. You never, ever, ever graduate from the simplicity of love in Christ. You cannot graduate from it. You cannot move on from it. It is wrapped up in every single intricate part of God. It is who he is. Talk about forgiveness, love's there. You talk about speaking in tongues, you'll find love. You talk about healing, you'll find love. You will always find love. So we've been going through, if you didn't know this, we've been going through some hard times. Past year or two have been pretty hard. For our own personal reasons here as a church, it's been pretty tough. But it's not just us, we know. It's the whole world. And it's like, wow, what is going on? And I mentioned it even earlier, like, what is going on? What in the world is going on? I don't understand it. We know that Jesus said, we'll experience these hard times. I don't want to make this a time to talk about, like, if this is from God or not. We can talk about that another time. The reality is that they're happening. And so what do we do with these things? How do we live in these things? How do we process these things? How do we go through them? The reality is I don't know what's ahead. There's been a lot. I'm going to continue to believe the best because I believe, I know what the end of the Bible says. You know, I know ultimately, Christ is in me. Christ is in you. So, and we talked about this on Sunday, where it's like, why do we pretend like we need to be afraid, like we need to cower, like we need to shrink back, like we have something to be afraid of in this time? Why are we doing that? Why am I doing that? I'm asking myself these questions. When the reality is, Paul said, we are as shining lights. We are as shining lights. He was talking about the stars. And isn't that interesting to think about? Did he know that those were gigantic fireballs when he said that? I don't know. I kind of wonder. Because then from you know, when we look at the stars, it's just like little twinkling things. But the reality is that we know now they are gigantic, massive fireballs. You are a gigantic, massive fireball. You understand? You really are. So whether Paul knew it or not when he said that, the reality is, it says it. You are a gigantic, massive fireball of God. You are. We are. So we don't need to be afraid in these times right now, but they are hard. And what happens in these times is we do get put through fire. And what you're going to learn here in Revive is going to be awesome. And you're going to learn a lot of good stuff. And we're going to change the world through the things that we learn in this place. We will. But we will never graduate from the simplicity of love in Christ. That's the essence of the vine. That without that, we have absolutely nothing. If we lose our simple devotion to Christ, we don't have anything. Okay? So we shine. We shine. You shine. Say, I shine. I shine. It's not unfortunate to be born in this hour. We were ordained by God for this exact moment in time to help people get out of the dark and into the light. God didn't just put you here as a last-ditch effort to hopefully make something good happen. He saw you a long time ago. He saw you. He formed you, knew you before you were even made. He knew you. Like, on some level, you existed because he knew you. You were in the thoughts of God before even anything was made. So on some level, you existed. And you've been a part of God's plan since before everything was even made. You were made for such a time as this. You were made for such a time as this. Okay, so hard times do expose unbelief. And unbelief is a hard subject sometimes because it's uncomfortable. We've all experienced it. We're all going through it on some level. And Jesus, quite frankly, is pretty serious when it comes to this topic. I don't think that he strays away from love or kindness or anything like that. But when he addresses unbelief, he gets pretty serious about it. And that is something I just want to bring up right now and shine some light on. Okay. According to the Strong's Concordance, the definition of unbelief is unfaithfulness. I used to think unbelief was just like, you know, you didn't believe God could do something. But the reality is, I'll just read this. While we look at unbelief simply as doubting God's ability to do something, he sees it as more than that. It's much more personal to him. I know this is a heavy word, but I think I want it to be sobering for us. And for me, it's just a reality check on some of these things. Kind of like what Andy was saying, was just like, I want to grab on to the substance that comes from faith. I don't want just to think it in my head. I want to believe it with my heart. Before it comes in the natural, I want to believe it so much that it's already, that I've already grabbed onto the promise before it's even come in this realm. That's what I want to walk in. I want that to be my natural way of living. So when Jesus talks about these things and he's pretty seemingly hard on some of these things, I see what he's doing. I see differently now. For him, it's a matter of loyalty. Being faithful in a relationship. This is why he expresses such strong language in Scripture when it comes to faith and believing in God. Okay, so that's a hard word. And we can all find areas in our lives of unbelief. So this is not like something I'm like, oh man, let's all be, you know, shamed about. That's not this at all. But I want to talk about it. Let's get a reality check. Now let's go into the Word. And let's get some oil. And I want to read from Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. Matthew 25, I think it starts at the first verse, but if you you can write it down or however you want to get there, you can look at it later. I'm reading from the New King James. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Man, this is such an interesting scripture. You know what I mean? Like, I can't remember what it's, but like, according to Jewish history, like one word of God has like seven, I've heard 70. but has layers and layers and layers of meaning. And this is obviously true in this scripture. It's wild. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Again, right there, they all slumbered and slept? I thought we weren't supposed to fall asleep. What happened? The wise ones fell asleep? I don't know what that means. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." This is one of those where it's like, has that always been in there? The bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. If you have your Bibles, like, just underline that or do whatever you do with that. That is a really interesting verse. He's supposed to just come and rip open the skies, right? Like, we're supposed to just be, or I'm supposed to just vanish. I don't know what I'm supposed to go. I'm supposed to go out and meet him? Wait, how do I do that? Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. This is really interesting. The word trimmed in the Greek is kosmeo. It comes from the word cosmos, which is the way that the world works, the world's system. So the virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps. Like, they got their lives in order in a way that they felt is right, which is necessary. Like, faith without works is dead. Like, we'll do that. But then we go on. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." So they all got their lives ready. They got their lamps ready. They prepped them. They got their things in order. They did the Christian thing to do. They went to church, they read their Bible, they prayed, they did the right things that they were supposed to do, but still five of them have a problem. Five of them have run out of oil. They had some, but it says the wise ones had an extra bit outside of their lamps that they brought with them. So they went out, they fell asleep, all their lamps burn out. When the bridegroom is announced that he's coming, the wise ones pull out the extra and reignite their lamps. What I'm getting at is, no matter what's ahead, what you're going to need is the oil. I mean, plain and simple. What is the oil symbolic of? The Holy Spirit. So I don't want to use this as a chance to say, like other churches are doing it wrong and stuff like that. What I'm trying to say is, above all else, the highest priority in your life right now should be getting oil. I'm totally fine with, like, practical application. Here's 5 steps to this, and here's 10 steps to this. I mean, like, that's kind of like the preparing your lamp kind of thing, trimming your lamp, getting your cosmos ready. That's has a place. All of them did that. But the reality is, it's time to get oil. It is time to get oil. I don't want that coming across as like a fear thing. I don't mean it that way. Like, oh gosh, it's going to get bad, get the oil. No, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of heaven is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, okay? So we see in that scripture, we see this picture painted that God is a lover. And that's just simply what he wants. When all is said and done, at the end of our lives, God just wants to know, are you a faithful friend? Are you a faithful lover? I don't know about you, but constantly I'm thinking, did I do enough? Did I grow enough in God? Did I pray for enough people to be healed? Did I do this? Did I do that? ministry thing that he, I felt that all those things, and I think that those things have a place. I think those things are important. I don't mean to minimize them, but ultimately, there's a constant question that he's asking. Are you a faithful friend? I think of Peter. Peter walked with him. He said, I'm going to go to the death for you. And he said, no, you're not going to die. And Jesus even rebuked him. He was serious. Peter was like going to do the thing. And then he's out there and I don't know him. I don't know that man. Second time, I don't know him. I don't know him. Third time, no, I don't know who he is. He says, as he said that, Jesus looked at him. Could you imagine catching those eyes? And Jesus is asking, are you a faithful friend? And praise God for his grace and mercy because he forgave him, right? So that's something for us right now, too, is, hey, we might even mess up. I don't know what's ahead. I don't know what's ahead. I'm not afraid of it, but I don't know what's ahead. I believe God has good things in store, no matter what. But whatever that happens in this natural realm, I know that he's just asking me, are you a faithful friend? And there's grace if I fall. Still, he's that good. Still, he's that good. So this isn't a message of, if you mess up, you're done. That's not what this is at all. This is us getting down to the core of what all this is about, of what is on the heart of God at the core and what should fuel us every single day. He just wants faithful friends. He just wants faithful lovers. That's really all he wants? Wow, that makes life a lot easier. Faith. So as we're talking about unbelief, we're talking about faith being much more than just believing God can do something. But it's on the level of loyalty. It's on the level of friendship. That makes faith very, very valuable. You ready to dive into Scripture some more? 1 Peter. If you want to get to it, you can. I'm just going to kind of fly through some of these, but if you want to write the scriptures down and to look at them later, you can do that. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. Faith which is more valuable than gold. Let's see here. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, what we're talking about, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Your faith is more valuable than gold. Remember we talked, if you were in the other class, faith is the technology to access the Spirit, the realm of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Faith is really important. Galatians 5:6. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. 1 Timothy 6, 10 through 16. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from their faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Man, sometimes you just got to accept the sobering words of God. You know what I mean? I'm all for like, woo, let's go. Highest heavens, let's do it. Sometimes you just got to accept sobering. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. fight the good fight of faith. Are you a faithful lover? Are you a faithful friend? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Every chance I get a chance to say this, I will. Are you supposed to wait until you die to do that? No. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Jesus Christ, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in inapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Woof. Wow. This is good. Hebrews 11. In faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. They obtained a good witness. They took hold of what they saw. By faith, they took a unseen reality and it became seen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith is what pleases God, not our performance. Amen. Or our ability to perform. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of these things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. I could go on, read the whole thing. You get the idea. Now, this is what I want to point out, though. It goes on to say in verse 13, all these people died in faith. All these people died in faith. They had a promise. They had seen something that was unseen, and a reality that they had not seen yet became their existence. They saw something in God, they heard something from God, and they took hold of it so much so they wouldn't let go of it. And they all died in faith. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is just simply, while we really make the Christian life complex, and did we do enough this week? Did I read my Bible enough this week? Did I pray enough this week? Did I do this? We really make it complex, and he's just simply asking, are you a faithful friend? Till the end. Will you die in faith? Any level, honestly, that he exists, or that he can do any of these miracle type things that we read about, it's just real simple. He is really simple. In the end, when you boil our entire lives down, all that God wants to know is who are his faithful friends. I choose to believe. And while God is all powerful and loves to give us the entire kingdom, I will simply be faithful to believing, because I just want to please him. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Jason, do you want to come on up? Thank you. We are an army. We are an army. We are an army, but we're an army of lovers. And I encourage you to adjust to that, because I know that's a bit uncomfortable, especially for us manly men. We are an army, and the way that we do battle best is by simply being in simple love relationship with Jesus. And I'm all for, like, you know, fighting principalities of darkness and all that stuff. Like, I get it, but what you'll find out as you engage with Holy Spirit is, like, the way to battle those things is by simply loving Jesus. Thanks for the auto pad. Very refreshing. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. God, I just thank you right now for just your sobering word of simplicity. God, I thank you for bringing us back to square one. And God, helping us to revolve our lives around it. God, I thank you that you are loyal. I thank you that you are faithful. God, I thank you that you are putting oil in our lamps. That you are teaching us what it is like to go out and meet you. To not just simply wait here. To let time pass. But God, you are calling us out to go and meet with you. I just feel a call to go ahead and do that. He's calling us out right now to go and meet with him. There's things that are going to try to tether you to this world. It's called the cares of this world. When we think about the future, and we think about, oh, what if this happens? What if the government does this? And what if my kids, what's going to happen to my kids? What's going to happen to this? Whoa. It's time to go out and meet with him. It's time to go out and meet with him. It's time to get untethered. It's time to let go of this world. It's time to let go. If there's something in the future that causes your heart and stomach to sink, that's an area that's tethered. I'm not saying we don't care about our kids and all these things. Of course we do. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We come out to meet with you. We come out with expectancy. We are full of faith. Despite what has happened, despite disappointment, despite the things that look like we thought you were going to do something, and we thought we had faith, but it didn't happen. Despite those things, we say, I believe. I am a faithful lover of God. And I will not turn my back on him. And I will stand with oil in my lamp. And I will stand full of faith, for when the Son of Man returns, he will find faith in me. He will find faith in me. So we lift our heads up to the hills from where our help comes from. And we say, we are faithful lovers of Jesus. yes, that he exists, but far more, yes, that he is a faithful friend. Yes, that he came and he died and he rose again. Yes, I stand here full of faith that he is a healer. He is a healing God. And he loves to heal. He loves to heal. He loves to restore broken places. I stand full of faith. I stand full of faith and declare the truth and the reality of who God is. He is faithful. And he has never left. He has never forsaken us. He has never left us. He has never forsaken us. We are resilient. We are resilient. Jesus, we will be faithful till the end. And we know even if we falter, we will get back up. For the righteous, they get back up again. And they get back up again. And they get back up again. Though they may fall 100 times, they get back up again. If you want to get back up, just say, Jesus, I believe. I may not understand it. I may not understand all that happened, but I don't need to know it here. What my heart needs to know and accept is that you are good. And you never leave me or forsake me. You never leave me or forsake me. And I will be found by you as a faithful friend. I will be found by you as a faithful lover. We've come out here to meet you. Our lamps are shining. Saying, we're looking for your face. Yes, we know you're right here. We know you're right here. We know you're right here. Hear the word of the Lord as you meet with him. Listen, my dearest darling. You are so beautiful. You are beauty itself to me. Your eyes are like gentle doves behind your veil. What devotion I see each time I gaze upon you. You are like a sacrifice ready to be offered. When I look at you, I see how you have taken my fruit and tasted my word. Your life has become clean and pure, like a lamb washed and newly shorn. You now show grace and balance with truth on display. Your lips are as lovely as Rahab's scarlet ribbon, speaking mercy and speaking grace. The words of your mouth are as refreshing as an oasis. What pleasure you bring to me. I see your blushing cheeks opened like the halves of a pomegranate showing through your veil of tender meekness. Here are the 9 pomegranates of passion, henna from heaven, spikenard so sweet, saffron shining, fragrant calamus from the cross, sacred cinnamon, branches of scented woods, myrrh like tears from a tree, and aloe as eagles ascending. You are a fountain of gardens. You are a fountain of gardens, a well of living water springs up from within you, like a mountain brook flowing into my heart. And then we say in response, awake, O north wind, awake, O south wind, breathe on my garden with your spirit wind. Breathe on my garden with your spirit wind. Stir up the sweet spice of your life within me. Spare nothing as you make me your fruitful garden. Hold nothing back until I release your fragrance. Come, walk with me as you walked with Adam in your paradise garden. Come, taste the fruits of your life in me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For the simple love exchange that gives us complete and total abundant life. It's obviously just a rest here. It's a rest. This is just what happens in communion. So we're just gonna rest here. Jason and Andy are gonna just play for a little bit longer if you don't mind. And we're just let's just go on a little journey right now. Let's just go on a little journey and see if the Lord wants to reveal any foxes. It's a simple love journey, honestly. I love that translation. Let's catch them together. What's spoiling the vine? Holy Spirit, bring your revelation knowledge. Thank you for bringing it right now. If there's anything hidden within us, God, you bring it to light. False humility. I hear false humility. Lowering oneself, thinking that it exalts him, lowering yourself in a way that is not the way to do it. Saying, I'm not worthy. No, no, you are. You are worthy now. His blood is that strong. His blood says a better word. His blood says you're worthy. What other foxes, Lord? What other foxes? Hear the word darkness of the soul, like someone feels like there's just this darkness that they can't, this hidden place in their heart that they can't bring to light, bring to the Lord, whatever it is. I'm going to try to add to it. Jesus, you bring your light. You bring your light. There is nothing more powerful than you and your love and your grace. There is no name or phrase or circumstance or mistake that is higher than your passionate love for us.
I just feel the Spirit of the Lord just saying, I love you so much. 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 I can't stop thinking about you. I love you so much. I don't care if you turn your head. I still love you. I still love you. When Peter defied me, when he did what he did, he looked at me and all he saw was love. All he saw was love. All he saw was love. He looked in the face of love. I was not disappointed because I saw who I called him to be. I was not disappointed because I saw who I called him to be. I called him forth in the Gideon time. I called him forth. And I will never ever forget that. I will never ever, what you do, I'll never let it trump who I've called you to be. Jesus loves you. He 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 loves you. He's crazy about you. Now just respond. Just respond to his love. He just says, here's my heart. Here's my heart. Take it. Grab it. Hold it. Here's my heart. I love you so much. Just take my heart. Give me yours. I love you. I'm never disappointed. I'm excited for the life we get to have together. I'm excited for the ventures we get to have together. I'm excited for everything. I'm so excited to be with you. I'm so excited to be with you. Oh, God, thank you so much. Just where you're at, just tell me. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you made a way when there was none. Thank you, Jesus, you made a way for us to be in love together. Thank you so much, God, that you made it possible for us to have this relationship that I can see you and stare you in the face and be saved by your grace every single day. Thank you so much, God. Thank you so much, God. I got so much oil. I got so much oil, God, because of you. I got a year's supply. I got a lifetime supply. I got an eternity supply of oil because of you, God. Because you just keep dumping it out on me every day. I'm so overwhelmed by your grace. I'm so overwhelmed by your love. And I just can't get enough. You will be what just drives my heart every single day. It'll just be you, God. Thank you so much. Just praise him. And watch his grace overwhelm you.
I can't stop thinking about us singing earlier. If it's a fragrance, then I'll pour it out. If it's a fragrance, then I'll pour it out. It's not if it's a fragrance, then I'll drizzle it. It's not if it's a fragrance, then I'll drop it. If it's a fragrance, then I'll pour it out. Like, you think about that moment that the woman just pours it out on Jesus. Like, it says that it cascades over his head. It doesn't drip down his head, it cascades down his head. Like, what a love he has for you that he pours it out on you. That his love and his grace cascades over you. And I think about that story and I think about, like, breaking the jar. Like, if she were to break that jar and it fall, like, and the Lord said she didn't just break the jar, she broke herself. Like, she broke at Jesus. She didn't just pour the oil out. She poured herself out. Like, she poured all of her disappointment, all of her hurt, all of her anything she could have ever carried. She poured that on Jesus. Like, he takes that for you. You can pour it on him and he takes it. He took it. Like, she didn't just pour oil on him. She poured everything on him. So right now, if you're carrying something you're not supposed to be carrying, pour it out at his feet. Pour it out. Don't just give him a little bit of it. Don't just say, I'll give you this piece. I'll give you this. No, pour it out. It was probably hard for her to pour that out, but she did it. And it says that she will forever be remembered, that that story will forever be told because of her faithfulness, because she poured it out. So Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love. I thank you for the cross, that it is your cross that is our freedom. Jesus, I thank you that you carry the victory. I thank you that you carry our burdens and our hurts, Jesus, that you carried it. God, so we ask that you continue to speak to us through the week about the little foxes, and that when those foxes rise, God, we would pour it out at your feet. We wouldn't just give you the foot. We wouldn't just give you a piece of the fur, God, but that we would give you the fox, and that you would take it, because when we lay it at your feet, you sweep it under your throne and you say, thank you. It's forgiven. Thank you. And you'll never see that fox again if you continue to fix your eyes on him. That fox may try and sneak back in, but you've already dealt with it once. He's already taken care of it. So you say, Father, you can just put that under your throne again. You can just throw that back there. We've already taken care of it. Because you do it together. You say, Father, take it. And he says, thank you. Father, I can't handle this right now. This is hurting a lot. What am I supposed to do with it? And he steps in and he works through it with you because he says, we will do it together. There's not anything that has just been put on you. There's not one burden that is for you to carry. There's not one burden for you to think that's just for you. If you're believing that, that's a lie. And right now I just speak to that lie and I say, truth, flood in that space right now. Jesus, we just thank you that your truth would cascade over our minds, that your truth would cascade into our hearts like that honey, like that oil, that it would cascade and pour over right now, Jesus, because you don't leave us empty. You leave us better than when you found us. God, you leave us better than when you found us. That means that when those foxes are found, you take them and you replace it with your truth. You don't just leave an empty hole there. So God, we praise you for leaving us better than you found us. What an honor to be marked by the King forever. What an honor to be marked by you, our Father, the lover of our soul, God Almighty, the King and the champion of heaven. What an honor it is to be marked by you for forever, Jesus. God, we praise you. We just thank you for sealing up every truth that was placed in our hearts tonight, God. Amen. I encourage you as you go, if there was a fox that the Lord revealed and you don't feel like there's a truth that's been replaced in that space, I encourage you to find a leader and just say, hey, there's a hole, and you guys do not leave this room if there is a hole in you right now. If a fox was found and a truth hasn't been placed there, do not leave this room, because he leaves you better than he found you. So find some. Don't leave this room if there's a hole and it hasn't been filled.
Yeah, so we're just going to activate that. Find my leadership team, come on up. Couple things. One, I want to make it space available for you to come up and get prayer. I also feel like when I was up there, I wasn't planning on coming down and taking the mic, but I'm going to let the Lord do his thing. Couple things. One, if you need healing, come up for prayer. I feel like the Lord, like there's a healing anointing on tonight. I think when we step into the love of who God is, there's healing that can happen, not just to, like, physically, but also spiritually. I feel like there's even hearts being healed tonight, but I really want to step into physical. Also, I feel like there's also family restoration. Family restoration, whether it's for you or you need to stand in the gap for somebody. Don't leave here. Y'all can spread out. I don't know why we're all on just one side. Family restoration. And y'all, can y'all just, like, I don't know how to do this. We need to lift up the Jake and Jessica Glover as well. Try to figure out how to do this the best. So I'll just put your hands up in the air like this. Normally I would say stretch your hands out, but like we're just going to put them up in the air. We're going to stand in the gap for them. Sound good? Father, we just thank you for that family. We thank you for what you're doing in their kids. We thank you that Jessica and Jake are good mom and dad. And that you love them, but not more than that, that you love their kids. And you are chasing after them. And I just pray right now, wherever they are, that they will feel the presence of God. They will feel the tangible presence of God and the love that Bryce talked about. That they would feel it and they would understand it. God, that you would awaken them. You would awaken them to your love and your kindness and your goodness. And you will show them that the value that they have. You will show them the value of who you created them to be, because you did not make a mistake. But Father, you look at them and you have nothing but good thoughts. You've never looked at a painting or any aspect of creation and say that it's not good. So Father, I just declare right now over that family, any other family in here that needs to know that you are standing in the gap for your kids, that they are loved. And they are never too far gone for the love of God, because his love will always pursue. His love never stops pursuing. No matter how far they may be, God's love is always pursuing. Every single person in this room is a testimony to God's love and faithfulness, because he never stopped pursuing you. So as we just stand here tonight, we just put our hands up and we just stand in the gap for our family members, and we just say, no more, Satan. We're robbing hell tonight. We're going to rob hell tonight. I believe we're gonna see testimonies that are going to come forth from people being like, I don't know what it was, but I just felt the presence of God, and it pulled me into a place of relationship with him, and now I can know that he is real and active and living in my life. So, Father, we thank you, and we give glory to you. We give glory to you for your love and your faithfulness for our families. In your name I pray, amen. I know it's late. If you got kids, grab them. But again, if you need healing, come up and get prayer. And also, if you like are believing for family restoration, don't leave here without it as well. Okay. See y'all next week. We all start new sessions next week. Get excited. Okay? Boom. Woo! Hey, give it up for Bryce, too. What an amazing job. You can come back whenever I tell you can come back.